Hello and welcome to Nutritious, your guide to a healthier lifestyle. And today's episode, we'll be sharing tips on how to stay hydrated and discussing the role of hydration in the body with a registered nutritionist in the state of Florida, Sivia Seth, who has a master's in nutrition, has been practicing nutrition for 22 years, and deals with therapeutic nutrition and stress-related issues. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello.
So, all of us know that drinking water keeps us in good shape, supports our health and well-being, and a ton of other good stuff that would just take this whole episode to explain. So it would make sense that we're not really having issues regarding hydration, right? I mean, according to the Beverage Marketing Corporation in 2020, bottled water surpassed soda as the most consumed beverage in the United States by volume. Well, contrary to what you may think, and the staggering stats backing up water as a highly consumed beverage, a survey reveals that 3 in 4 people are still dehydrated in the US. On a global scale, that's a little bit over 6 billion people. Those seem like some numbers out of the world, but don't be worried because in today's episode, we'll be giving you tips and lots of information to make sure you stay out of the 6 billion people dehydrated and give some fun facts you probably didn't know at the end. So let's get right into it. Grab a cup of water, relax, and enjoy. My first question for you is, what are the main factors contributing to a patient's typical dehydration? What are the typical diagnosis for these patients?
As we know, water is the main constituent of our body. It is consist of like 65% of our body is made of water. And there are a lot of contributing factors for the dehydration, like vomiting, diarrhea, drugs that increase the urine output, like the diuretics, excessive sweating with exertion. And low water intake, burns, heat, and age population, because as you age, your sense of thirst decline and you don't realize you don't feel thirsty, and that can contribute to dehydration as well. And beside that, there are certain viral and bacterial infections. If you have high fever, if you have inflammation, and you have a lot of kidney diseases, if you have a kidney cancer, again, chronic kidney diseases that are the contributing factors for the dehydration. And especially athletics, if you are athletic and running and sweating, working out a lot, your urine output is less, and you're dehydrated because you're losing a lot of water. And your body is working to maintain the homeostasis to maintain the temperature. And that way you lose a lot of water by sweating, and that is the main contributing factors in the healthy adults for the dehydration.
And would you say it is possible to overhydrate? And what are the risks associated with excessive water intake?
Well, definitely overhydration occurs when we are not we like the kidneys are not excreting more and we are drinking more. Usually our kidneys are capable of excreting like 1 liter of water every hour. And if you are consuming more than that, then you're overloading the kidneys and they're not capable of getting rid of the excess water. And that can cause the overhydration. And sometimes it's called water toxicity as well. And because of that, drinking too much water is definitely not suggested, because when you drink too much water, it dilutes your electrolytes, your sodium level goes low. And when your sodium is low, it's a hyponatremia. And because of that, your cells start swelling. And when the swelling of the cells takes place, and your brain cells also swell. And then can that can cause like a coma, and it can definitely lead to death, because even though it's very rare, but it can happen. So, and the liquids are more inside your cells, and because of When the liquid are when there is a hyponatremia, there are fluids are like move inside your cell and causing they can cause inflammation too. And there are certain drugs who can make you feel thirsty, and that can also lead to overhydration. The drugs are like that are meant for schizophrenia. There are antipsychotic drugs, diuretics, and MDMA, like ecstasy, the drug that can make you feel very thirsty, and you can get overhydrated on that. And there are the risks, as I told you, the risk associated with overhydration is like the swelling of the brain that can lead to coma or seizures. So too much water is not good. So if you're you have to be very careful when you're consuming water, because a lot of people and media, they are pushing for hydration, the water. Understood. Water is essential, but it can excess of anything can lead to detrimental effect on your health as well. So I would not suggest like if your minimum threshold for drinking water is it varies. It should vary from person to person, but anywhere from 1,000 liter to 3 liters is okay. So that's what it is.
Thank you. And would you say this number, how can this number like vary from person to person? For example, how much would an athlete have to drink, or someone working a 9 to 5 with minimal physical activity have to drink in order to stay well hydrated?
Okay, so like a person who is working 9 to 5, very moderate activity, not doing too much of excessive exercise, not sweating, just staying inside in the air conditioned environment, they are not losing much of the water, but our body is also losing water, using water for to metabolize whatever we are eating. And all that. For that, I would suggest anywhere from like at least 1,000 to 1,500 milliliters of water would be okay to keep our kidneys going too, because we consume a lot of toxins, especially the times we are living in. We are surrounded by chemicals. So, and we definitely need water to flush those out of our system. But if you're athletic and you are working and losing a lot of water from your body, that should be anywhere from 2 liters to 3 liters a day would be needed, depending upon which kind of environment you are in. If you are like in more tropical environment, humid environment, then you're sweating a lot and then you would need more. So 2 liters to 3 liters would be considered more. But I would also suggest, because not only water, you have to balance out your electrolytes too. So make sure that electrolyte water would be better if you are working and making muscles and stuff like that. So I would suggest have like a Gatorade or anything like that, but have to be very wary about the sugar content at the same time. And also, when it's not like that, you have to consume, if I'm saying like 1,000 liters of water, I'm sorry, 1 liter of water or 1,000 milliliter of water in a day, that would be like not like all the water, because you have to also consider what you're eating. The food you're eating also is also has the water content, like a spinach or watermelon. They are basically almost 100% of water by weight, and different kind of fruits are consists of water. And when you cook like lentils or soups, they have water. So herbal teas and coffees and teas have water, but you have to be considerate about the beverages when you're drinking, because the caffeinated beverages, if you are a coffee drinker and you are drinking like 4 to 5 cups a day, you are not getting hydrated, but because of the caffeine, you're losing water. So that is not very advisable if you want to stay hydrated. Instead, you can replace it with green teas, herbal teas that are available in the market, or you can increase your salad content because they are water too. So that's how it is.
And what are some general tips you would recommend to a patient to stay hydrated?
For to stay hydrated is like our body has means to stay hydrated by itself too, by giving you a signal of that there is a like a thirst signal that you feel thirsty. But sometimes you do not feel thirsty and you still need water. So I would suggest like start make it a habit of drinking like half a cup of water. Start if you're not a water drinker. Just start with like having like adding some kind of like cucumbers or melons. They have like 80 to 90% of water, the water content in them. So you can start eating that and still get hydrated. And I would suggest just start drinking like half a cup of water every 2 to 3 hours during a day. And before you go to bed, just make sure that you drink water. And if you are like an hour before meal, start drinking like a water, maybe half a cup of water or a, that will keep you hydrated and keep you gut moving and have a good gut health as well.
And we've heard that lots of people say that drinking water from a plastic water is not ideal. Can you explain why it isn't good for our health to drink water from a plastic bottle and recommend some other alternatives?
Well, plastic is not a natural it's not like an it's a chemical, so it's not a natural substance. So when you're drinking out of plastic bottle, you are consuming microplastic in your gut, and your gut has no idea what to do with it. And I think drinking from plastic bottles is detrimental to health in the long term, even though there is no research so far, like what effect those microplastic have in our gut. But I'm sure that if it is just sitting in your gut, you're accumulating microplastic in your gut. And it is not very easily broken down by the enzymes or the acids in your body. So you have to be very careful about that. If there is not necessary, don't consume artificial, don't put like pressure on your body to excrete artificial stuff that the natural processes of your body doesn't know what to do about. And also, when the water bottles, some people are just like, okay, they take water bottle. It stays in the heat for a while, and then when the plastic comes in contact with heat, it converts into formaldehyde or acetaldehyde, and not only it cause the bad taste, it also cause indigestion, and it is in the long run it can harm your lining of your stomach. It can cause inflammation, and it is not I and it cause many issues. And also, it can lead to like cancer because they're over the time they become carcinogens. So I would not suggest like the usage of plastic bottles. None of the plastic bottle is safe, to be very clear, because some manufacturer like they claim that their plastic is safe or anything like that. I don't think so, because no matter what you do, there are some chemicals are leaked from the container to the liquid that we are planning to drink from it. So instead of that, I would suggest use like copper bottles and steel bottles, glass or ceramic containers. Because copper is my favorite because it has properties, anti-inflammatory properties, and also It helps make the water alkaline, and alkaline water is very healthy for your gut. And in general, it helps to maintain the pH balance in your stomach. So that is my favorite, if you ask me. But plastic bottles are not suggested at all.
Yeah, definitely stay away from plastic bottles in the gas stations. But
Yes.
can certain medications or medical conditions affect hydration levels? And how can people manage hydration in these medical situations?
Well, definitely, there are a lot of diseases that can affect our hydration level, and also the drugs that we take. And there are the conditions like if the body have low protein levels, heart failures, if your cellular capillaries have increased permeability, liver failure, lymphatic obstruction, major surgeries, pancreatitis, sepsis, burns, trauma, viral or bacterial infection, chronic kidney diseases, if the person is on hemodialysis, and these are all the diseases that can throw the electrolyte balance and the fluid balance in our body. And if you are drinking excess water, sometimes there is also called like the swelling that is called edema. And also there is a term called third spacing. Usually when you drink water, the water goes inside the cell and hydrate the cell and goes in the intercellular spaces. But sometime with these disease conditions, the water comes out of the cell and goes outside the body, and not outside the body, but outside the cell in the interstitial and intravascular places where it's not supposed to be. And that's why we see ascites, we see swelling after surgery, and that can be detrimental. So it means if you suppose if a person has a liver failure, liver cirrhosis, and alcoholic liver cirrhosis especially, in that case the water is collecting in your peritoneal cavity. In that case, the water is excessive water is going inside. I mean, you can see the like a hand belly with full of water. In that case, you have to be considerate about lower your intake of water. And also the people who are on chronic kidney disease or hemodialysis, because their kidneys are not functioning, so they cannot process that, process the water. So in that case, they have to be on fluid restriction, depending upon how much dry weight they are fluctuating after dialysis. So it's like maybe 1,000, 1,200, 1,500. And if you are deficient in protein, then also you have a tendency to collect water, like as edema or outer spaces. In that case too, you have to be very wary of decreasing your fluid intake. And if you have vein obstruction or any vascular heart disease, so these are the conditions that can definitely cause like not the hydration, but the imbalance of the fluids in your body. So in that case, you also have to, when you have these kind of a condition, you have to be very wary and considerate about your sodium content, because the more sodium is in your body, it will retain more water. So that's why we say if there is a swelling in your body, you don't consume too much sodium. So it goes hand in hand. So you have to be very careful with these diseases.
Well, thank you for allowing me to interview again today.
You're welcome.
And before you guys leave, I'll be sharing three fun facts about hydration, as I promised at the beginning of this episode. Water makes up about 75% of your brain, 83% of your blood, and 60% of your body. So, as nutritionist Sibia Seth said, it is always very important to keep these very crucial parts of your body hydrated. And on average, an adult human loses about 2.5 to 3 liters of water per day through day-to-day functions such as breathing, sweating, and urinating. And lastly, in a study conducted at the University of East London, researchers found that drinking water before an exam can improve test scores. The study just suggested that being properly hydrated improves cognitive performance. And with that, that's it for today. I am your host, Arnav Jain, and thank you for tuning in to Nutritious, your guide to a healthier lifestyle.